Let's go to our Bibles this morning. We're going to talk about the essential Word of God in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. We're going to use that scripture, the fourth verse, actually, for a text. And so we're going to give you other scriptures as we go along and maybe read a few other versions of scripture so that it gives you a little bit more of a taste of maybe more of a, you know, vernacular that we use every day, because we don't always speak the King James. It's not always that clear. I don't know how people say it's always so clear to them, but you know, it is a good translation, accurate translation, but the wording of today, we don't speak the same kind of term, the same language as the English, because as far as the language is concerned, it evolves and changes, and different words can sometimes be changed a little bit, but the meaning is not the same. So if you're a good study of the Word of God, you will understand the context of different things, and you can understand words and scriptures if they actually are speaking different from what God is actually saying, then you know from other scriptures, because scripture will interpret scripture. And so if you put them all together, you'll see that it cannot overlap in terms of saying something different. So thank you for watching us online, all our family and members of Faith City Church. Thank you for letting us know you're there, supporting the church and supporting the ministry that God has given us. We're going throughout Canada. We're going throughout our city today, preaching the Word of God. And I just want to report that we meet a lot of folks, not lately, because we haven't been gone to a lot of places, like different establishments, and my time with different places have really been limited, because you can't go too many places. Just drive in your car, maybe go to a takeout place or a curbside. So, and very limited travel just around the area of the city. And so, throughout our history of being on the air, and recently, people have let us know how dear we are to them online, and they tell us very much so that they embrace. They're not members of our church, but they're city church members, or people who are Christians, and people who are coming into the family of God through faith in Jesus, have told us how important we are to them as family of God, bringing the Word of God to them. And so we appreciate every word, and we need every encouragement. If you have an encouragement word from myself, any one of the family members, staff members here at Faith City Church, come on, send them in. My wife's online right now, and she can speak to you, and Kendra's back there, and she can talk to you as well. So we have staff here. You can call in our line. There's a phone number, I believe, that comes across the screen every once in a while, letting you know that you can contact us and speak with us. And so a lot of times I speak to people, pray with them, and they find me somehow through internet, through people write to me, on Messenger, and connect with me on Facebook. And so I get to pray with people on a weekly basis, and sometimes critical things, and they need help, extra help. And so they call, and we wanna be there for people. And the only way we can be there for people is being online and preaching the Word, giving the Word out. And so thank you, people, partners, friends, family members of Faith City Church, across Canada, all our Spirit Alive partners that give regularly. And we thank God for all the finances that come in, help us do what we're supposed to do here in our city. And we're not stopping yet. We're going to build more. We're going to do more programs. We're going to raise more ministers, and we're going to raise more people to help in the ministry. So everybody's time is limited. If Jesus doesn't come, we're going to be gone, and there'll be a new generation of people. And so I was told by our ancestors, in the faith camp, and if you want to call it that way, faith family, is that you got to teach every generation the Word of God, and teach them about the Holy Spirit. Teach them about the foundation of the Word of God. And if you don't do that, a generation and a generation, the next generation will fail to bring that message. So thank God for you. I want to pray for every one of you. Let's go ahead together in prayer together and pray and ask God's blessing upon our lives. And we ask for His anointing. And I believe that God's anointing will be there for us to help us understand the Word of God even to a greater degree. Father, we want to thank you in the name of Jesus. We pray for every member, every family, every person that's watching online right now. We ask in the name of Jesus that the power of God will just descend upon them and flow out of them, that they will recognize. I pray that you stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done. In the name of Jesus, and I pray that let my teaching and my preaching not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but let it be in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that our faith will not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let us pray as Paul prayed with the Roman Christians, that our preaching will be with signs and wonders, and it will begin to show evidence of God among us. And we thank you for that, that we'll be a great witness. By the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost will come. We pray, Lord God, that you open each eye, as Paul prayed. Eyes of their understanding, said they'll know what is the hope of their calling, what is the purpose of their lives. And we pray that they would know the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be able to be demonstrated in their lives individually and as a family, and that they'd know how great the Lord has been to raise them up above all principalities and power, every demonic force, that they're raised above each one of those powers, and that they have authority over each one of them in the name of Jesus, and they have the ability to speak into their own lives to cause them to be victorious over every battle. And we pray that you'd fill each one with the Holy Spirit this morning, that they would rise up above every circumstance and every situation, that Jesus will live as a reality in their lives by the love of God that be demonstrated through them. We give you praise in advance as you give wisdom and enlightenment to each one. In the name of Jesus, we praise you in advance. Amen and amen. All right, let's go to our verse of scriptures. So let's go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. We're talking about the essential word of God. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He was afterward hungered, and when the tempter came to him, he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So my stance today, or my proposition to you today from this message, is that the Word of God is faith food. The Word of God is food to your spirit. Jesus said so. It will enrich you. It will strengthen you. It will make you strong. The Word of God is the most essential part of your day. It should be the most essential part of your day. And so Acts chapter 20, verse 32 says this, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. You know, we need to know that God is building us up. And every time we get around the Word of God, we're getting built up with the Word. We're being fed the Word. We're hearing the Word of God that's being put into our minds, changing our minds. And when we accept it, it begins to become food for our spirit. As we think on it, as we feed on it, we begin to have it, as part of our innermost being. And so it says that the Word of God will give you an inheritance. You know, we do have an inheritance as Christians. God has given us an inheritance. And so God wants each one of us to know what belongs to us, who we are, what we have, what we can do. And so today, authorities are telling us all over the country and in our regions and in our provinces that they're instructing us how to live during this pandemic. And there's all kinds of instructions. We watch for those every day, listen for the instructions from the authorities, from the government, from the different people that are, watching over and presiding over the health of our nation, of our cities, and hospitals and area. And they're giving us different things. They're telling us what to do. They're telling us what is essential to our lives. They're telling us what isn't essential. They tell us where we can go and what we can buy and what we're not limited to do. And so I'll tell you for sure what is most essential to us, and that is the Word of God. Our text tells us that Jesus said that the Word of God is faith food. It's food for our spirit, our inner man. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. In that verse, chapter 4, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. In other words, when God, whatever God said, it is faith food from the mouth of God. That is the Word of God. Whatever comes out of the Word of God, the mouth of God comes into us, comes to our spirit, builds us up. So the Bible says, the writer of Proverbs says this, Proverbs 4, verse 4. He says, my father taught me, take my words to heart. Follow my commands and you will live. You know, if we want to live, not just survive, but if we want to live victoriously, we have to embrace the Word of God, take the Word of God to heart. If we are to live by the commands of God, we're going to have to feed on the Word of God regularly, especially in these last days. The more trouble you have, the more you need to go to the Word. The more weaker you get in terms of being attacked, get to the Word of God to be strengthened. The Word of God has to be essential, top priority in your life, every one of us, on a daily basis. It shouldn't be something that you do at the end of the day when you're so tired that you can't even read the Word. You know, I read the Word every night when I go to bed. Whether I'm tired or not, I read. Sometimes I fall asleep. But I read the Word. I spend at least 15 minutes in the Word before I go to bed. And I meditate and think about it throughout the night. And in the morning, I do the same thing. And throughout the day, I pray throughout the day. I never stop praying. I pray all the time. Somebody say, you got a prayer time? Sometimes I have a special prayer time and I stop and I pray. I take special time to pray and I get out to the country. I'll get out of my home, get out of my office, and I pray somewhere where, just to be alone with the Lord. And you need that time and to pray and seek God. But that special time you have, you know, it's important. And you talk to God and you need to talk to God continually. Look at the Word and speak the Word back. The Bible is God speaking to us. You know, I heard that so many times over my years as a young Christian. The Bible is God speaking to me. I remember in Bible school, when we go to Bible school classes, Brother Hagin used to make us, at least didn't make us, but asked us to confess this and to make that a part of our life. The Word of God is God speaking to me. He would say, point to everybody and say, the Word is God speaking to you. We point to everyone like that and beside us. Then we also would say to ourselves, the Word of God is God speaking to me. You point to yourself. Tell yourself that right now. Say, the Word of God is God speaking to me. Say that two or three times to yourself and say that often during the day. And make sure that God, this is God's word. I'm talking to myself about God's word. I'm speaking to it. When you speak to yourself about the Word of God, you're feeding your spirit. You're cleansing your mind. You're renewing your mind as you speak the Word. And that's why it's so essential to sing scriptures. Sing songs that are based on scripture, not some fluffy thing about some kind of feeling. But sing the scripture so that it gets in your spirit, cleanses your mind, cleanses your heart. That's why to have a good worship leader, good worship man, in your church, music team, that ministers the Word of God to your spirit. And by the time you're ready to hear the Word, you're just ready. The music team, ministry, to get you ready to hear the Word of God, get you right open to the Word of God. The presence of God would come, and you're praising. The Bible says He inhabits the praises of His people. So the Bible is God speaking to you. So the Bible says here, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, I'm reading the King James. It said, all scripture, that's talking about the Bible, New Testament, Old Testament, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And is profitable for what? Doctrine. You know, that's good teaching, right? For reproof. If you need to get reproof, the Bible will correct you. It will show you something. For correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So Paul said the scripture is given by God himself. The scriptures are given by God himself. The word inspiration literally means God breathed in the original language of the you know, they, when they wrote this in the Greek, original Greek. The word inspiration is God breathed. It means God breathes or God breath. God breathed into man's spirit. And we thank God that he breathed into man as he spoke. So in ancient times, God spoke through his prophets to teach and to instruct us. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John had an amazing spiritual experience. You know, thank God for spiritual experiences. I've had some. And I believe that, you know, Jesus tarry, I'll have some more. Maybe even more powerful. I believe more powerful. I believe God's doing something. He's getting me ready for something. I believe he's getting me ready all these years for something very special. And we're going to see, we haven't seen yet. If I remain faithful, you remain faithful, we'll see some things, incredible things. So the Bible says that on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John, you know, they were the inward crowd with Jesus, the inner circle. They had an amazing spiritual experience with Jesus on that mountain. And they heard the voice of God who gave them witness that Jesus is his legitimacy as the Son of God. And they saw his glorious presence, the light of the glorious gospel, or the light of God shone upon them. And they changed in the moment of time. During that time, there was such a change on them, the presence of God. The Bible says the Holy Spirit comes and there'll be change in our lives. You know, the presence of God can change you, but you have to maintain and keep that when you feed the Word of God. So in the final analysis, Peter said the Scriptures are more sound than any personal experience. You know, you could have any kind of personal experience or at least a gift to the Spirit of manifestation or a vision or something like that. Peter said the Word of God is even more powerful, more sure, more than anything else. It'll stand the test. Because, you know, you could get a vision and, you know, you could lose something. But the Scriptures tells us that holy men of God were moved as God came upon them and they wrote the Scriptures. Here's what he said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 to 20. It says, the voice which came from heaven. So they heard a voice from heaven. This is verse 18, 2 Peter 1 and 18. He said, which voice came from heaven we heard. In other words, the three of them, Peter, James, and John, heard a voice from heaven. That's a powerful experience. That's a spiritual experience. So they had a revelation knowledge of God. They had an encounter with God. This is not something in the natural. This happened in the spirit. When they were with him, that is Jesus, on the Holy Mount. And it says here, the next verse, verse 19, we also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and that day star arise in your hearts. Knowing first, verse 20, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Well, what does that mean? Well, it doesn't originate from a person. That's what he's talking about there. Verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. In other words, you can't just say, I'm going to just give you God's word. I'm just going to find the word of God on my own and figure this out and give it to you. So it didn't come in old as the will of man. It doesn't come because God, you know, you say, I'm going to just get a word right now for everybody. Well, God has to give this special word of Scripture. It says in here, by the old time, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but by the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So this is what the Bible tells us. The Scriptures is God breathed, and they wrote these Scriptures as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's what the Scripture says. Now let's read the New Living Translation of that same verse of Scripture, verse 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 to 21. We ourselves heard the voice from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Because of that experience, we have a greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. Verse 19, you must pay close attention to what they wrote, for the words are like a shining lamp in a dark place until the day dawns and Christ, the morning star, shines in your hearts. Verse 20, Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. So this is not man concoction here. This is God, the Holy Spirit, breathing into a spirit of a prophet, and he spoke through the prophet, and they wrote these scriptures down. And verse 21 says, the prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke from God. And so let's go over here to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, the New Living Translation. It says, like Jesus came from heaven. And the Bible says that Jesus is the living word. He's the living word. He's the word in action. And everything Jesus did is the will of God in action. Whatever Jesus interacted with the people, you see, that's the will of God, God's will for every person. When Jesus came down, the Bible says, from the mountain, and the people followed him, and he met up with a leper, and the leper said to Jesus, "If you can heal me if you want to." And the leper believed that Jesus, God, could heal, but he didn't believe that God would heal him. And so that's where a lot of people are sometimes. They say, yeah, you know, God can do some things for some people, but I don't know if he'll do it for me. So each of us has to get in the Word of God for ourselves and recognize that God is for us and that Scriptures are for us. They belong to us. It's our inheritance. He says it here, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, long ago God spoke many times in many ways to our ancestors, through the prophets. Verse 2, now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his son. He says, in the final days. So we're in the last days. We're in the final days. God promised everything to the son as an inheritance, and through the son, he created the universe. And if you read the first chapter of John's gospel, chapter 1 to 3, you know, these guys were so close to Jesus, you know, Peter, James, and John, and they saw his ministry in a more intimate way. And John wrote that Jesus is the Word of God that came down from heaven. And he wrote in the Revelation, his name is the Word of God. Jesus, his name is the Word of God. And so the Bible is the Word of God. Jesus, when he walked on the earth, he's a demonstration of the Word of God. He's God speaking to us. So the Word of God is God speaking to us. The Bible is God speaking to you and me. As we said, we should say this to ourselves continually. This is God speaking to me. We need to keep the Word close to our hearts and keep our minds, for it keeps our minds focused on the most important things in life. It is light when things get dark around you. When you have a dark time, you're going through a dark time in life, it's the only thing that'll give you light. It's the only thing that'll put a smile on your face, the scripture will, when there's nothing else in the world to make you smile. The Word of God will strengthen you when you get weak. The Word of God will bring you up when you're down or when you should be down. But when you get the Word, it'll bring you up. The Word of God is an anchor when things are unstable and the storms of life are raging around you and try to blow you away. It is the foundation of our lives. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 16 to 20, New Living says. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27, Jesus says, the Word of God is a life and a foundation upon which we build our lives on. We need to get to the Word more than anything else, more than any other time in this time. We need to have the Word close to us regularly. When things come up, you need to get to the Word of God. I'm going to mention something later on. You know, whenever troubles come to you, you have to ask yourself some questions. You know, the devil will come to you, and he'll come to you at a time that he can take advantage of you, at your lowest time, like he came to Jesus. And Jesus responded, and we need to respond likewise. And the devil will come to you in your lowest time, and I don't know what your time is like to now, but I've been through some low times in my life, and I've gone through some struggles. I mean, if you just look at someone, you don't know what's going through them. And sometimes we'll pick on people or we criticize people. We don't know what's happening in their hearts. We don't know what's happening inside their lives. And so that's why it's important to be nice to people, because you don't know what they're like. You might be working, somebody might be working and serving you, and you see that they're they're not thinking right, and they maybe served you wrong, I don't think they mean to be mean to you, and they're servicing you, and you just want to get to the next event or next assignment in life, and then you call that person out and tell them how stupid they are. No, God wants us to be nice all the time. Even when people are not nice to us, God says be nice to people. Be nice to them all the time. And so you don't know what's happening in people's lives. And so you might be the answer to someone when they're going through a hard time. So in the heat of the battle in life, when life rages at you with storms beyond your ability to stand, God will sustain you during those hard times. Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He at a very vulnerable time, attacked Jesus. And the devil will attack you, and he's relentless, and has no mercy. And after fasting 40 days, serving God, you know, some people say, I serve God. Why am I in this trouble? Why am I having this trouble? Why do my kids all wrecked up? Why is, my wife's sick? Why is this happening? Why do we have a financial problem? Well, the devil is mean. We're living in the mean world where the devil, he's God over this world. And you gotta learn how to fight by faith. You gotta live by faith. And so some people get attacked in a certain way, some people in another way. And some people might have cancer in their family. Some people might have addictions in their family. Some people might have real strong mental health issues in their lives. Some people might have failure or personality difficulties. But we all have some kind of a issue. But in the moment of time when we're going through the toughest times in our lives, we need to get to the Word of God, especially now when we get an attack from all kinds of ways. And so the Lord demonstrated what we should do when the enemy comes to us and attacks us. Remember, Jesus as a man, act as a human being, and use the Word of God against Satan. Let's look at a few scriptures here to verify this fact. You see, John chapter 14 and verse 14, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. That's talking about Jesus. The Word was made flesh. That means Jesus is a demonstration of the living Word. That everything that Jesus did is the will of God. When Jesus put his hands forth on the leper, that's God's will to heal people. I believe it's God's will to heal everyone all the time. And you say, well, some people don't get healed. Yes, that's true. I believe God's will is that everyone be born again, but not everybody else is born again. I can't go by human experiences. I don't live by human experiences. I'm told not to. I believe that everybody, it's God's will for everybody to be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with tongues, but not everybody is filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe everybody, take the authority over their own lives and control their own lives by the Word of God. Not everybody is doing that. Instead, you see on Facebook and different things, they're asking everybody to pray for them. No, you're responsible to pray for your own self. That's a hard line to understand. You have to take your cares to the Lord and ask God to help you and act on the Word for yourself. There's going to be a day in your life where you're going to stand on the Word of God alone, and you're going to have nobody there with you. And so that's important to have the Word of God. It's a sure foundation. In fact, if you walk close to God, more often, the less attacks you get, because the more secure your life is, because you're in the tower of God. You're in the most high holy place where the devil doesn't have access to you. But sometimes when we go on our own, I remember Brother Hagin tell us a story. He said, when he got attacked with a heart attack a couple of times, and he got very sick, and he injured himself physically, broke his arm, I believe it was, tore out his shoulder and arm, and he's preaching the Word, and he went to the hospital, and in that hospital, Jesus appeared to him while he's doing meetings, special meetings. And the Lord says to him, the reason why you got injured is because you got out of my will. While he wasn't drinking alcohol and selling drugs and committing adultery. No, he was out of the will of God by not obeying God. in a way that God told them. God said to them to do certain things, teach a certain along certain line, and begin to, you know, preach certain messages, and he wouldn't do certain things, so he just did something on his own. And he said that he got out of the perfect will of God into the permissive will, where the devil had access to him. So we need to walk a fine line. The Bible, Jesus said, it's a wide road without God, but it's a narrow road with God. There are certain things that we're not permitted to do and go to in this life if we're going to walk with God and have victory. And so, he says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And let's go over here to Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. We're going to show you again another scripture that Jesus became a human person. He became flesh. And he lived among us to show us how to have victory in life. And show us the love of God. Begin to demonstrate how much God loves us. When we begin to recognize how much God loves us, we won't have half the trouble that ventures of anxiety that we've had, because we know God's going to care for us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8 says, "But made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself a form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men." This is talking about Jesus. Made in the likeness of man, took upon himself a form of a servant. He didn't come as a big gemma, a big boss. He became a servant, serving people. Verse 8 says, "And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." You know, sometimes we have to come to a life, I was talking to somebody yesterday, we have to come to a place in our lives where we die to our own plans. And follow the plan of God. I mean, there's so many things. I think there's so many things I could be doing personally. So many kind of dreams I could be doing on my own. But in the final analysis, I know for sure, the scripture says in the final time when I stand before Jesus, everything I've accomplished in my own flesh will be burnt up. But the only thing that will stand is that if I obeyed God and follow what he said to do. That's the scriptures. Romans 14 tells us about that. 2 Corinthians, I believe, verse 5 tells us about that we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give account to whatever we done. And the only thing that will stand is what we've done if we followed God. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4 says, "The Lord Jesus gave up his deity by becoming flesh or human to show us a way to victory and came to rescue us from this present dilemma." The Bible says that over here in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. He says, "Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father." So Jesus gave himself up so that he might deliver us from the things that might destroy our lives right now. So we have to understand that Jesus came to this world and defeated the devil on his own turf. See, Satan became the god of this world, as the Bible says that. You know, Luke chapter 4, verse 6 says that Satan says, "All this was given to me." Well, who gave it to him? Well, Adam did, turned it over to him. We read that in Scripture. You read all the Scriptures and you'll see that's what exactly happened. But God gave it originally to man in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, 28. It tells him that you'll have dominion over. But somehow, that was turned over to Satan. So, we need to understand that in Genesis chapter 26, 28, over here, that man had dominion over everything on the earth. And the tempter came and tempted Adam, and he lost his place, lost his original place. So there are times the devil will come and try to take advantage of you, particularly if you've not been in the Word, and you're weak and you're given to temptation and you struggle. Let's go ahead and read Luke chapter 4, verse 6. "The devil said to him," that is Adam, "all this power or authority I will give you and the glory of them, for that has been delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it." See, the devil has certain authority He has some kind of authority here, but in his kingdom, in the dark kingdom. If you read scripture that, you know, Satan, if you go over to his kingdom, then he's going to lord over you, even though you have power over him. If you go over to his camp, he's going to lord over you. If you get out of the will of God, go to his camp, go do whatever you want to do, thinking that you're doing your own thing, but really you're in his camp. He'll take advantage of you. Not only you, but he'll come in and attack your family. He'll steal. He'll try to find a way into your home. And so it's so important that sometimes people, you know, they get off from the things of God and they think they're doing their own thing. And some tragic thing happens or some crisis happens and they need to find God or need to pray. All of a sudden they have to try to figure themselves if they're in faith or, you know, they got to repent and they go through all kinds of gymnastics. They go through all kinds of search in their hearts and try to get rid of, you know, a lack of confidence in the things of God and get rid of unrighteousness and, you know, condemnation and guilt. And by the time they get through all that stuff, it's been a week has gone by and they should have been taking authority. Time is precious. And so it's important. The Word of God is essential in the battles of life. Brother Hagin always used to tell us, when you're in a hard time, ask yourself this question. What does the Bible say about my life? What does it say about the situation? And we need to ask ourselves that all the time. What does the Bible say about this? It might not tell you exactly word for word in terms of, you know, something that you're struggling with, but you can go to the Bible and find out scriptures that cover that area. You're going to have to overcome every obstacle in life by using the Word of God, using scripture against the enemy, and applying it to your own life. The Word of God is an essential part of every one of our lives. Get into the Word, get it into your heart, change your mind, renew your mind, confess the Word, confess what it says, and you'll come out on top every time. Always take time, always make time for the Word of God. Always look to the Word. The Lord demonstrated for us in his encounter with the devil, whenever he attacks, what to do. We can overcome every temptation and trial or test by using the Word of God against the devil when he comes around and tries to attack you. During this COVID crisis, some things are deemed essential or non-essential. Many times in churches, they're closed. And, you know, the government says, this is not essential, that's not essential. But, you know, they close the churches to limit access there. But the bars are open in some places. Liquor stores are open. The liquor store is open. When we're closed, we drive down the street, the liquor store is open. There's a line up there, people buying alcohol. And, you know, they say that's essential. And so the devil has everything backwards. And we need to understand some things. Thank God we need to obey the governments but there's sometimes there's going to be a time when we're going to have to push back and say, no, this is not the way it's going to be around here anymore. We're going to have to stand on the Word of God. You know, at this moment, we're cooperating. But there's going to be a time when we might have to rise up and say, no more. And some people, they've done it already because they just want to flex their spiritual muscles in some areas. But I believe we need to obey God and obey His Word. And so we're going to have to get the Word of God down in your heart, in your spirit. You're going to have to get the Word of God, change your mind. You're going to have to get the Word of God in your mouth by speaking it before the victory is won. Let's look at this principle according to what the Apostle Paul said over here, Romans chapter 10, verse 8 to 10. But what said it? The Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, which is the Word of faith which we preach. Now, the Word of faith is the Word of God. That's faith food. When you hear the Word, when you preach the Word, you're giving out faith food. People are hearing it with their ears. And it changes their minds. And it goes down in your spirit, lodges inside your spirit. As you speak the Word to yourself, as you embrace it, it goes down in your heart and builds you up and changes you and makes you stronger. That Word has to be not only in your heart, but it has to be in your mouth in order for it to work for you. And so it says here, verse 9, if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In other words, salvation comes because you believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. And that's how every other victory is going to come in your life, when you believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. Verse 10 says, "For with the heart man believes, with the spirit of man you believe." So everything you put in your heart is what you're going to believe eventually. Man believes their righteousness, or right standing with God, is made right with God, in other words. That's what it means right there. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. The word salvation also means deliverance, healing, health, victory, prosperity, having all your needs met. Confession is made. In other words, what you confess, when you build your life around the word, what you confess is eventually what you're going to have. That's why we joke about it around here. I always tell Pastor Ken he's getting what he's going to, what's coming to him. We tease about it, but it's a true thing. You know, we're not making light of that. In the real world, we tease about different things. But everything you sow is going to come back to you. Sometimes even we have to watch how we joke, because it's going to happen. We joke about different things. You know, some people say, well, you know, we joke too much, maybe so far about different things. We have to watch sometimes. I'm going to be careful. Right after this meeting. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, "We having the same spirit of faith." I like that spirit of faith. That's a good attitude. Spirit of faith, you know, you can catch the spirit of faith from people. You get kind of a little cocky about different things. When you have the spirit of faith, you get that attitude about you that nothing can stop you. "We having the same spirit of faith according to as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak." In other words, he said, "I have the same spirit of faith as David." We, the church at Corinth, and everybody else as a believer, we have the same spirit of faith. Say that to yourself right now. Say, "I have the same spirit of faith." Say, "I believe with my heart and I say with my mouth." That's what you have to do. That's the spirit of faith. You have to have the same spirit of faith you got, just like David when he defeated the enemy. When you start building your life on the essential word of God, you'll defeat your enemy, no matter what it is. The word implanted in the heart must be spoken from your mouth. The word of God is essential to our strength. And we can overcome anything when we plant the word of God in our hearts on a continual basis. It's not just hearing the word of God, but it's also speaking the word of God from my mouth. It's not just hearing, sitting there, hearing the word. You need to say this to yourself. You need to meditate on the word and say this in troubled times when things are going wrong and everything seems like the devil tells you you're not going to make it this time. You got it last time. You had 3 tries. This is the last time. You're not going to make it. No. He said the word of God works every day. God's mercy is new every day. The Bible says God's mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. In other words, you can go to God every day and make a change. Hallelujah. It'll never end. The devil tries to lie to you. He said, "This is the end. This is it. This is the end." He's tired of you. He's not. So Mark Hankins, you know, he's a pastor and a spiritual father of many of us that follow, this message. He says, "Never run at your giant with your mouth closed." He's referring to David running at the Goliath. He says, he uses the analogy of the battle between David and Goliath. Let's have a look at this illustration from David's life and apply it to our own personal lives, because that's what we should do. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45 to 49. I'm reading the King James Version. It says here, starting verse 17 or 45 and 1 Samuel 17. "Then David said to the Philistine, 'Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear, with a shield, but I come to you in the name of our Lord, the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied.'" Verse 46. "This day," I like that, praise God, "this day," that's faith speaking, "this day will the Lord deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you and take your head off from you, and I will give your carcass to the host of the Philistine this day, unto the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Verse 47. "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth saveth, and not with a sword and with a spear, but for the battle is the Lord's. How many of you know that the battle is the Lord's, not yours? You don't have to be strong in yourself, emotionally, mentally. That's the wrong way to act. You start acting on how you feel. No one asks you how to feel, how you feel about something. God never asks you how you feel, what you think about it. He says, follow my word. We don't follow any kind of feeling. We don't walk by circumstances. We follow the word. The reason why people fail is because they follow their feelings and follow what everybody else is saying. You got to follow your convictions according to the word. For the battle is the Lord's, he knew. He will give you into our hands. You need to tell the enemy, we're going to take you out today. And it came to pass, the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to David. And David hasted and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. You know, you got to go and not be afraid. You got to go meet your trouble head on. You can't run away from your troubles. You can't hide from your trouble. It's still there. You can fill your mind up with Netflix and Facebook and hockey all day long. But you, when it's all done, you're quiet, it's still going to be facing you. You can't go under the covers and listen to Spotify and iTunes, whatever you got. But it's going to still be there when you wake up. And David went towards to meet the Philistine. You got to meet the Philistine. In other words, you got to meet the devil head on with the essential word of God planted in your heart and your mind. Verse 49. David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone, slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead. The stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face upon the earth. You see, this is how we're going to win the battles in life. If we take the word of God and sling it back to him, it's like Jesus took the word. I was reading this morning in Ephesians 6 that we need to stand our ground. How long do you stand? Stand as long as it takes. If it takes 100 years, you stand your ground. But you're not gonna take no. You're not gonna say no. I will not be defeated. I'm not taking no for an answer. That's a man who is firmly planted in the word of God. He's not going to be shaken. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, it says, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in the season. Whatever he does, he will prosper. He'll succeed in it. That's if you get the word of God, because he says in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, he says, that we need to get meditating on the word of God. Plant the word. When you meditate the word, you're planting the word of God in yourself. You're not waiting for some preacher to come speak to you. When you meditate the word, take the scripture, talk to the scripture to yourself. Tell them, this is what I have. Read it over. Talk to yourself about it. You're hearing the word of God. You're planting the word in your heart and changing your mind, changing your attitude about different things. Don't wait for somebody to come and encourage you and pet your hand. And say, let's go for coffee. I want to fill you up with the word. No, nobody's going to do that. You better get in the word yourself. And stop being a baby. Okay, so you had trouble last night in the Toronto loss. So get yourself off there and begin to get into the word of God again. Amen. Because Toronto's not going to help you when you got cancer or you need the money. You're not going to send you no checks. I don't care how much Boston wins. You're not going to get no check from Boston. Hallelujah. They're not going to heal your kids and find answers for you. All these things are temporary. And you got to get to the word of God. That's the main thing. My father-in-law used to always tell me, that's the main thing. If you get a job. My dad, he never thought working as a pastor was any job. I'd go visit him on the afternoon. I'd go visit him during the afternoon. Leave my office and visit him just to take time to talk to my dad. See, my dad never talked much. He never wanted no visitors. So I visit him anyway because I pay respect to my dad as an honor. We were never chums in life, my dad and I, never. But he never talked to me. But I want to talk to him when he's older. I want to respect him because the Bible says, honor your father and mother. So I went to see him. And I knew my dad was very, very honored about me taking matters of my life in my own hands in the Lord and having success and graduate from school because he told me to stay in school and so on. And, he was a man of few words, but he's a guy that just got into the Word very late in his life. And he talked to me about some things. And I said, if my dad lived to be some 80 plus, he never had the Word. He never read the Word. I can imagine how far I can go. What I can do. He never went to school, never had an education. I learned from my dad. I learned how he lived. He was respectful. He knew God to a certain extent. And he had respect for the things of God. But he got saved later in life. Quit smoking. You know, and when my mom passed away at 59, my dad lived almost 20 years, I think, without my mom, and lived on his own. My dad was far older than my mom, and he died in his 80s. He was very lonely for my mom. And so, you know, we need to get into the Word of God. And follow the Word. Let's go over here, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Everybody say, the Word is faithful. That's right, the Word is faithful. So Acts chapter 20, verse 28. So guard yourselves and God's people. This is Paul talking to the elders, the pastors, the leaders who give people leadership. You know, leadership should be able to give the Word of God, feed the Word of God. Here's what Paul said to them. So guard yourselves and God's people. Feed or shepherd God's flock, his church, purchased with his own blood, for over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as leaders. This is a new Living Translation. Feed or shepherd the church. So when we should be able to give God's people the Word, not just our opinions and not, you know, preaching about something and make people happy for a moment, but give the people the Word. Tell them how the Word, tell them how it works. Preach to them and tell them how it works. How, if you take this Word and you do this, this is going to happen. And I thank God for, you know, preaching, a little bit of excitement. You know, thank God, but the Word is the most essential part of our day. And so, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight thereof, and not by restraint, but willingly, not with filthy lucre, but a ready mind. Peter, he says, I'm also a leader, and I'm also an elder. You know, every pastor is an elder, but not every elder is a pastor. So everyone has to have the same, every ministry gift has to have the same qualification as an elder. We got to have these certain kind of ways about us, a quality of a heart and ways. And God will work through our lives. And he says, feed the flock of God. See, I take my job very, very, you know, very strictly in my own life. And I study regularly. And I get myself ready. I always have extra two or three messages along the side in case I run into trouble during the week and my time is eaten up. I'm always ready for something. But there's times, you know, I just want to not preach. There's lots of times I don't want to preach. And I'll just say, hey, can you preach over here? Sometimes I just take some time off, which I can. But my main job here at this church and this ministry is to feed the Word of God. Feed people. That's my job. Right here, 1 Peter 5, 2, that's my job. And if anybody comes and sits here and preaches, I got to tell them to feed people. And if they're not doing a job, I'll let them know, hey, preach the Word. Don't just give them fluff. Praise God. Amen. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow by that. That's the only way you're going to grow strong is feed yourself the Word of God regularly. The devil's not going to move you when you got the Word in you. He ain't going to attack you when you're full of the Word. It's spirit food. Feed on it daily and it will strengthen you. Man shall not live by every word. So we need to continue to meditate on the Word. Here's what God told Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8. This book of law shall not depart out of your mouth. In other words, keep speaking it. When you speak the Word to yourself about it, you're meditating the Word. When you meditate the Word, it starts changing your mind, changing how you feel, and feeding your spirit and giving you the strength you need for the journey ahead. This book of the law, in other words, the Bible, shall not depart out of your mouth. That's the scriptures. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written there. And from then thou shalt thy make way, you shall make thy way prosperous, thou shalt have good success. In other words, who's responsible for your success? You are. You are going to do that. And if you fail to meditate the word, you fail to get the word in you every day, and when you have trouble and crisis, in times of crisis, whose fault is it if you're having a hard time? It's your fault. You got no one to blame. Because God told you in so many scriptures and so many times, get to the word and stay strong in the word. That's why I was told to stay in the word. Because there's going to be time you might need it. Now, feed on the word on healing when you don't need healing. Because there'll be a time you'll need it for yourself. I heard this so many times. You might need it for yourself or someone else in your family. So you can have faith for your family. You got faith for somebody else to pray for them. You know, we don't have to worry about, you know, you pray for them, it doesn't work. That's not my job to be concerned about. My job is to pray according to the word and lay hands on someone. Let God handle it. Let them do what they, respond to the word to God themselves, whoever you pray. Smith Wigglesworth used to say, the word is faith food. That's what he used to say. He was a strong man of faith in the word. He said, the word of God is faith food. That's where Brother Hagin got that from. He followed this man. So the main meal in the church is always the word of God, because every session of the word of God, I remember one time listening to Brother Hagin at school. He said he was doing a healing school. You know, healing school, they teach on the word of God about healing. Subjects of healing or something like that. And so one day, you know, he's walking across from his office to the Rooker Memorial Center. You know, I filled a couple of thousand people in that auditorium. And he's walking over to that auditorium, and the Lord said to him, what are you doing? He said, I'm going over to teach on healing. The Lord spoke to him a few times. He said, what are you doing? He said, I'm going over to teach on healing. Because you told me to do it. He said, yeah, so why are you spending all your time worshiping? I didn't ask you to worship. I said to go and teach the word. You know, sometimes we hear God, but we want to hear what we want to hear. And so we go ahead and we follow according to what we think. So the Lord said to him, no, I didn't tell you to go and worship 45 minutes and then preach the word for 10 minutes and try to pray for sick. No, I told you to go and teach the people. And he had a problem with that one time, and the Lord said to do this and do that, and he wouldn't. And he got into trouble. He got sick. So we don't want to be sick. We want to follow God. So look, like, you know, in every church service, we thank God for all the things that happen in services. It makes it exciting to meet people when doors are open, things happen. When the Spirit gets them moving in our church services, you know, we get all excited. And we get excited about the music. Praise God. Amen. The wonderful music. We see people shouting and dancing and running and singing, prophesying. We see the gifts of the Spirit in manifestation. You know, we see different things of demonstration of the Spirit of God, falling under the power of God. And all those things are non-essential when it comes right down to it. The word is the main thing, and those things should be part of it. We shouldn't just go to church just to run around the service. We shouldn't go there just for the music only, because I like the music. You know, some people say, well, I'm going to that church because I like the music. The music is not going to keep you strong. Thank God for music, you know, especially if it's in the word. Get into the word of God. It'll save your life. Thank God for that. Let's finish up over here. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23-24, King James says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness, all manner of disease among the people. Verse 24, and his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Well, how did he do it? Well, he went around preaching the word. He went around healing. And he went around teaching the word of God. First of all, teaching in the synagogues. And then preaching. Thank God for the teaching ministry, somebody said. Well, thank God for his word. His word will never return void. Hallelujah. Now, Let's go for a couple more here. Matthew 9:35. Jesus said, the Bible says, Jesus went about, Matthew speaking, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Thank God for the teaching ministry of the Word of God. You know, we need the teaching ministry to get people healed. I said, we need the teaching ministry to go out so that people can be healed. Yeah. Amen. Not just wait for some kind of manifestation and pray. Let's pray here. Let's just pray the Spirit for all and ask for manifestation. That's not what they're going to do. Thank God for it. Let's be ready for it. The Spirit of God, when you pray that way, you'll be ready for it. But it's got to be the Word that's going to do it. Some people said, no, never mind teaching me the Word. Just pray for me. Well, where's the faith going to come from? It's got to come from the Word. Let's read a couple more scriptures. Romans 5, chapter 1, verse 1-3. And it came to pass, as people pressed upon him to hear the Word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesareth. Verse 2, he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Verse 3, he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. Strategically, Jesus did this. And he prayed him that he might thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So later on, you know, Simon caught a lot of fish. Because he let Jesus teach them his boat. And Jesus said, throw out your nets over here. And Jesus, Peter said, hey, we're professional fishermen. We're not going to cast out over here. We worked all night already, washed up our nets. But somebody right now is probably thinking the same thing. We've done this, we've tried that. Hey, listen, when the Word of God is given to you and you start acting on the Word like Jesus said, you're going to get some results in immediately. Thank God. Luke 5:15. But so much more, they went a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed of their disease. In other words, Jesus taught the Word, and people were healed from the Word of God. We thank God for the Word. We're going to continue on this subject, the essential Word of God. Listen, keep putting the Word in your spirit. Keep yourself strong. Keep yourself protected. Glory to God. Because, you know, I see a wind coming. I see storm coming. But I see people who are ready. Hallelujah. I see people who are ready. They say, bring it on, Satan. Bring it on. We're ready. And when all is said and done, we'll be standing up here, cheering on all through before the storm, during the storm, and after the storm. We're still here. Glory to God. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I prophesy to everyone that they are Word people, that they're people of faith. They're feeding their spirits on the Word of God. It is essential every single day that we feed the Word. Let's make this commitment together. It said, dear God in heaven, I thank you. I make this commitment right now. I ask in the name of Jesus, you forgive me for putting the Word of God aside. I'm asking in the name of Jesus that I would receive greater revelation as I study your Word. I make a commitment right now to feed on the Word more than I ever have been in time past. I will listen to the Word. I will quote the Word more often. I will give the Word more precedence on my Facebook. I will share the Word more often to people when I meet them. I'll always make my conversation come around the discussion about the Word of God. I want to thank you right now for every commitment, Father, that the people have made to give the Word first place, that it's an essential part of their lives. They'll ask themselves every time they have a trial and trouble, what does God say about my situation? And then they'll go to it and act on it, act like it's so. Act like the Word of God is true. So right now, we also make a commitment to act like the Word of God is true. We're going to act like the Word is true, so we're going to act like it's done. We cast every care upon you. Let's pray the prayer of releasing our burdens on the Lord. Father, we cast every care upon you, every worry about our physical health, every worry about our children and family, every worry about our finances, every worry about our health, every worry about issues that are pressing that we see coming. In the name of Jesus, we're praying that when we come there, we have favor And we thank you, Father. We send out the angels of God to go forward. We bind every devil that tried to hinder us and try to discourage us and try to tell us that this Bible is not so. But it is so. The devil's a liar. We say to him, you are a liar, devil. God is true. And his word is truth. His word is light. And so I walked in the light. And I shall not be disappointed. In the name of Jesus, amen. And if you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Forgive me of my sin. I'm a sinner. I repent from my ways. I turn to you right now. In the name of Jesus, I am yours. Spirit, soul, and body. I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. And if you are a Christian and you've sinned and you've fallen away from God, just say, Lord, I turn my face to you. Forgive me for sinning and walking away. I'm coming back to you right now. Very simple. I make a commitment. I rededicate my life. In Jesus' name, amen. We just prayed 3 or 4 prayers. Amen. But bless God. We see you again. God bless every one of you. And see you tonight on Leadership Development. Bye-bye.